that it's turning it into a mountain. Church, I'm going to start off with a challenge this morning. What have you already worried about this morning? Maybe you're worried you were going to be late to church. Maybe you're worried your team is not going to win the big game tonight. Or maybe you're worried that you're going to enjoy my sermon more than Pastor Frank's. All incredibly valid, I might add. But it's really not hard to understand why we're such an anxious people when we look at the world we live in. From finances and social pressures to government instability and widespread violence, we're a fear-driven people. Now, did you know how you handle this fear? It's not much different than an elephant. And that's not a fat joke, you're beautiful, I promise. But if we look at this next screen, that's not my art, by the way. It's probably a lot better than mine would be. But that's how we work. And did you know in Asia, when a baby elephant is born, it's separated from its mother. And they take this really strong metal and they put it around the baby elephant's leg and they stake it into the ground. So that way, when the baby elephant pulls towards its mother in any direction, it experiences overwhelming pain. And so the baby elephant learns, and as it grows, the metal chain gets smaller and smaller until it reaches adulthood and it's nothing more than just a skinny rope. But it gets even sadder because sometimes these fires will happen and everyone will have to flee from the village. And they'll come back and they'll just find these elephants laying dead. And it's being held on by nothing more than a skinny rope because these elephants have been conditioned by the pain that they knew. They allow this fear to stop them from trying anymore because it was too much more than they could handle. But this morning, God wants to encourage us. Even though sometimes we can look like that elephant, he's ready to meet us where we're at this morning, and he's ready to speak life into you about this concept of fear. Because church, is this a new issue? You're right, not at all. God's word has spoken to this issue of fear and anxiety for thousands of years. Let's stand as we read our scripture together this morning. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. You may be seated. Now, if we look at examples throughout Scripture of biblical characters who found themselves in these fearful situations, the number is really staggering. I could probably do a couple sermon worth. But we're going to look at two today that I think most of us are probably familiar with. Now, if you look at Jonah, he finds himself in the midst of this fearful storm, and then he ends up getting swallowed by a fish. That's a type of fear that I can't really relate to. And then we see David, itty-bitty David, who's being paired up against Goliath, who realistically, without any intervention, should have been pummeled into the ground. Now, we might not be able to exactly understand the circumstances that these two men found themselves in, but the very real fear that was triggered by these circumstances, that's relevant to our life today. I think Max Lucado gives a really powerful quote that helps connect the problems back in biblical days, the fearful times, to our lives today as Christians. It says that your Goliath doesn't carry sword or shield. He brandishes blades of unemployment, abandonment, sexual abuse, and depression. Your giant doesn't parade up and down the hills of Ella. He prances through your office, your bedroom, and your classroom. He brings bills you can't pay, grades you can't make, people you can't please, whiskey you can't resist, pornography you cannot refuse, a career you can't escape, a past you can't shake, and a future you can't face. Church, today we see that real peace is not the absence of conflict, but rather it's the presence of God. Point one today is telling us that the scripture that we looked over in Philippians, it's a word of comfort, not a warning of condemnation. When Paul instructs us to be anxious about nothing, it's not a pointing finger, but rather it's a hand on the shoulder. Because Paul's goal, and ultimately God's goal, is to reassure his people, not to reprimand them. I say this because warnings don't calm the anxious heart. They simply add to the crushing weight of anxiety. And church, today we need to understand that anxiety can be triggered for a variety of reasons. For some of us, it's a result of a misunderstanding. Well, for others, it might be the result of severe trauma that they went through. But what's needed in every single one of these cases is comfort and encouragement, not Christian quick fixes like, hey, you just need to trust God more. How do we help someone who finds themselves in the position of saying, I believe that God's real and that he is loving, but deep down, I don't see how God could love someone like me? And that might even be a question that some of us here today find ourselves wrestling with. And that's truly a hard question. And sometimes our Christian quick fix to this is we want to say, well, just have more faith. But church, it goes deeper than that. Because yes, we always want to encourage faith, of course. But we want to make sure that we're directing faith into these especially dry channels so that the whole field of an individual's life can know living water and God's harvest. Now, are we trying to be soft on anxiety here? Absolutely not. We can't afford to miss the full impact of Paul's words. Do not be anxious in anything. He's saying don't accept anxiety as an unchangeable reality in your life. Don't tolerate it. Don't rationalize it as a necessary evil or as an idiosyncrasy. Let this fear and let this anxiety that you experience serve as an alarm bell that perhaps something isn't quite right. But church, we can't lose focus that this scripture, it's meant to be a word of comfort, not a warning of condemnation. Now, if we look at point two, it's calling us to be a people dependent on prayer today. And it's calling us to familiar prayers, not foxhole prayers. Maybe if you've grown up in the church like me, you've heard of these foxhole prayers referred to as arrow prayers. They're quick little messages shot up to God in our time of need. And church, please don't misunderstand me this morning. Your heavenly Father longs to hear from you, wherever you're at. But when we allow these quick little messages to replace deep intimacy and prayer through God, then we have a problem. And sometimes God uses these desperate times in our life to wake us up and to make us aware of our desperate need for him. But that's a need for him as God, not as a genie in a bottle. The idea of this quote, that fear arises when we imagine that everything depends on us, that brings us to a rather humbling place. Think about it. When you log on to Facebook and you see a post from a friend who's fearful of her father's condition in the ICU of the hospital, or you see a post from a cousin who's in a long, drawn-out custody battle for her little one, what's oftentimes the response? Oftentimes there's endless comments saying, praying for you, you're in my prayers, and we know the power of prayer. I don't know about you, but as a Christian, I've seen God do way too much to try and even deny that prayer doesn't work. So why are we so quick to promise something we know possesses so much power and oftentimes so slow to follow through on it? Let this prayer and let this need that others experience, let the worry and the need of your own heart, let it drive you to your knees. Let it bring you to a place of complete and total surrender before your heavenly Father. Now, if we look at these black circles that I have up here, it's finances, family, job, faith, and health. Those are oftentimes very overwhelming worries. And I want to be realistic with you today. Oftentimes, it's not just one thing that we're dealing with. Life sometimes gives us the snowball effect, and it just chucks one thing after another. But the good thing about this is we don't have to wait till we're at the breaking point where we have all of this on our back. Because if just one of these are sufficient enough to disrupt our fellowship and our relationship with Christ, then it's significant enough for us to be concerned about it. And the powerful thing about taking these things to God in prayer is that when we continue to do it over and over, these worries begin to shrink. And as we pray, they shrink and they shrink until eventually they die at the feet of Jesus. Prayer is a way to turn our anxieties into a means of grace. Paul says that every anxiety is an invitation to come before God and lay it at his feet, to enter into a conversation with him about it, and to leave it with him. We can find hope today that there is no gnawing tensions in God. There's no obsessive anxieties, and there's no tensions. There's peace, right down in the profoundest depths of the mind of God. There's peace. So you take to God your worries, so unimaginable, so uncontrollable, powerful, and destructive, and you take them to him, and you leave them at his feet, and you make a request, and he takes them from you, and in their place he gives you his peace. We see that point three today is a promise of peace. It's not a pass or a parachute. We tend to think of the pass or the parachute as a way to escape from the things that inspire or tempt us to anxiety. But that's not how the scripture is telling us that's going to work. Because yet again, like I mentioned, we see that real peace is not the absence of conflict, because we're not going to get that in this world. But rather, it's the presence of God, which we do have as Christians. And oftentimes in life, we associate these triumphs and trials that happen to us with the mountaintop and valley experiences. We see that the mountain is where God comes to meet us. Or I'm sorry, where we go and meet God. But the valley is where God comes to meet us. I think that gives us a powerful visual of how faithful our God is. Because even when we're broken and bruised and just ugly in the way we do things, God's there and he's ready to meet us where we're at. And I'm going to be realistic with you today. Sometimes things hit, church. I get it. I'm an imperfect person. These things of fear hit us, and it has us running to these deep, dark valleys, which give us temporary comfort. But we have to understand that Jesus is the light of life. He is the good shepherd. And a good shepherd isn't going to lead his sheep into a deep, dark valley and just leave them there. We need to prepare our hearts for when these times of fear and anxiety strike. Because like I said, scripture promises us that they will. And when we feel anxiety start to rise in light of bad news from the doctor, say, Father, I thank you that you will transform this lowly body. Please help me to trust you with it until that day. Or when you feel anxiety start to rise in light of financial pressures, say, Father, I thank you that you will supply every need of mine. Please help me to trust in your perfect provision. Or when you feel anxiety start to rise in light of a daunting spiritual task or kingdom ministry, say, Father, I thank you that you are in me, both to will and work for your good pleasure. Please help me to trust in your incomparable power to accomplish what I never could on my own. Those need to be the prayers and the cry of our heart. Now, I want you to know that I'm not up here today as someone who's trying to wag my finger at you, but rather I'm right there with you. I'm in the struggle. For those of you who don't know, I've been employed at a daycare center for about the past month and a half or so, and it was good. I came out of a season of unemployment due to some medical stuff, and you know, for anyone who's had a new job, you're kind of like that new person that asks a lot of questions, so it takes about a month for you to get your footing. And 2 weeks ago, I was notified that due to overhiring, that I was being terminated. And that's a scary place to find yourself. For any of you that have found yourselves there, I have respect for you. I don't have a family to support, you know? Obligations and priorities, those don't stop because your income stops. So I found myself at this place of saying, okay, God, I'm really trying to trust you here. But then there's this little voice in the back of my head that says, Plan B. Why do I need a plan B? God's my plan A, and I know he's going to meet every need. He's going to fulfill every desire, even if it's not exactly how I would have chosen for myself. God's my plan A. I don't need anything else. But honestly, that's not how I felt 2 weeks ago. And I was really struggling, so I did what any spiritually mature person would do, and I looked really hard for a new sermon topic to preach on. Because I couldn't bear the thought of getting up in front of you guys and preaching something that my own heart was struggling with. But the more I prayed about it, I felt God saying, get up there. You're a mess and they already know that. But share, and I'm going to meet you exactly where you're at, and I'm going to speak life into this congregation. So from what I'm seeing in my own life, I want to encourage you to hold on, because God is so incredibly faithful. Now, if we look at point four, it's kind of a challenging one because it's calling us to change. I don't know about you, but, and I hate to admit this while he's here, but sometimes when I listen to Pastor Frank's sermon, I get real excited and I love the scripture verses, and then we get to the end where it's a call to change, and I'm like, okay, this is for everyone else here and not me. Time to shut it down. But I encourage you not to do that today, because I really think God has something for us here. And this isn't just a call to change on the surface level, but rather it's a call to change in the depths of our soul. Now, I want you to respond with a raise of your hand to this question, because I think it's kind of important we get a visual on this. But church, have you ever found yourself so far under the pile, whether it be finances, marriage, family, work, whatever it might be, that you truly don't know if you're ever going to get out? Look around. Yeah, you're not alone in that. And like I said, I'm right there with you. These past 2 weeks between sermon preparation, final papers for school, and the loss of my job, I seriously considered skipping church just to catch up on life. But I'm glad I didn't, because I'm encouraged today. I'm encouraged that I'm not alone in this, and I hope you're encouraged that you don't have to hide it here, because like I said, we're all a mess. And that's okay, because God's ready to meet you wherever you're at this morning. Maybe you've had months where you don't know where the money's going to come from to pay the bills. Have you, like me, ever thought about what can the church do to better approach the elephant in the room, this concept of fear? Because the moment that we allow fear to become the foundation of the church, we're done. The moment that we allow anything but Christ to become the foundation of the church, we're done. Have you ever, like me, thought about what is the church going to look like in 20 years? And how are we going to fit into that? Or realistically, are we even going to want to? These are difficult, uncertain days, days that make everyday worries seem like a piece of cake. So the question is, church, how do we trust God during those fearful times? Because I think as Christians, that's often the biblical response. Yeah, I trust God. But we stress a lot, we worry a lot, and we have very little joy on a daily basis. And so everything's fine, and we're going day to day, living our good life, and then something hits, and we find ourselves back at that point of intense fear. But let's take a look. Wouldn't you rather trust him? Wouldn't you rather rest in him instead of worry? Wouldn't you rather set aside fear and enjoy the ride a little bit more? Because church, I know I would. We know the love that Christ demonstrated for us on that cross. But do you ever find yourself in these fearful and anxiety-filled situations and say, God, do you even care? The scripture in Philippians that we read today, it promises that he does. And it promises us that he cares far more than anyone can understand. And he longs to take your hand today. And he longs to lead you out into a world that desperately needs Jesus Christ. It's going to be scary. I'm not going to stand up here and lie to you. But we can find hope in that God is so faithful. There's going to be trials and struggles and moments where the load feels far too heavy to carry on. But God's here for you. And honestly, church, there's a million and one reasons to be fearful in this world. But there's one promise that is far greater than any of those. And that's God's with you. He loves you. And he's going to continue to walk alongside you today. So here's my question for you today. Is there anxiety or fears in your life that seem to be robbing you of your joy? While I was speaking, did you find yourself, your mind drifting to that one thing that you just can't seem to shake? Or did you have trouble concentrating because of the anxiety that seems to be smothering you? If so, it's time to do several things. First, it's time to repent. It's time to confess that you've been living as if God doesn't care or isn't able to help you. Face this issue squarely. Ask yourself, do I believe or don't I? Second, it's time to pray. It's time to get alone with God and pour your heart out to him. Don't stop with superficial platitudes. Make your requests known and be honest. Because, church, I can promise he can handle it. And as you're praying, thank him for his willingness to help you in the past. Thank him for his willingness to help you now. And thank him for his wisdom and his grace. And finally, church, it's time to enjoy life again. It's time to rest in his arms, and it's time to leave the uncontrollable future with the Lord. It's time to give him our worries so we can experience the true joy that comes through peace and God. Now, as we prepare to close, we're going to take a few minutes and we're going to watch this song of the video called Fear No More. And I encourage you to take this time. Our altar is always open, or you can remain at your seat, but take this time to get alone with God. Block out everything else. Don't worry about what you have to do after church or what this week holds. But get alone with God and ask him different areas in your life where you've allowed fear more control than you've allowed God. And that's a hard question, because he might point out areas that you're not quite ready to deal with. But today's our first step. And he's ready to meet you where you're at. You don't have to hide it today. He's ready. And listen to the lyrics and make this the cry of your heart. Because as a body of Christ, we're all working to truly become a people who say farewell to fear.